Blog Talk Radio.
Desperate House Witches, and this is Dorian Wallace, and as always, my lovely sister Rena.
Is it safe? Is it safe?
Yeah, it's safe. It's safe. Obama got reelected. It's safe. You can come out.
Oh my God. Holy are you serious? Is it safe from the robocalls of death?
Yes, no more commercials, no more robocalls.
Oh, is that shit over? I'm telling you now, I was going to lose my fucking mind.
Right?
I was going to lose it. I was getting up to 7 calls per day from both sides, and I had people coming to my fucking door.
Are you
asking
kidding?
Me if I had voted, was I going to vote, where was I going to vote, when was I going to vote, who was I voting for? People wanted to slap bumper stickers on my ass. I'm telling you, it was crazy in the last 2 weeks.
God, just drives me up a fucking wall. It really does. And they're already... They are already starting to talk about 2016. I'm like, can you just shut the fuck up for a week, please?
Give me three weeks of peace and fucking quiet. Can these people just leave me alone? Everybody, and I mean, the following, okay, so I fell asleep before they called Ohio. Because my happy ass was tired. I was afraid to get out of bed the next morning. I thought, oh, no, no, no. Because back in the bad old days, Bush v. Gore, if I have to remind anybody about that fucking nightmare, you know, we thought it went our way, and then it went another way, and then it went some way, and then it fought for this amount of time, and the motherfuckers in Florida were still counting shit. And then all of a sudden I wake up the next day and they're like, Obama got it. And I'm like, where's Florida? And they're like, we don't know. Florida, please get a grip. If we have any fans listening in Florida, you're one of our states. We love you. But please get your shit together. You are being rendered absolutely without power at this particular point. And I have to say, this is the first time in my memory that Florida did not help make the decision. So,
yes.
I mean, how could you want to be rendered irrelevant? Get your shit together, your people, your voting machines, whatever the hell you got to do. Get back on the task, please. This might not be important to the older people who are going to die soon anyway. But seriously, and I'm a senior, so I can fucking say this shit. I am considered at my age, my ripe old age of 51, that I am now, by the AARP, considered to be a senior citizen. So I am going to exercise that option. If you want to call me a senior citizen, I am going to bitch like one and not give a shit. Because I'm old and I can get away with it now. That's how it goes. See, that's why getting old is good. Because you can say some shit and people don't care, or they're like, ah, she's just old, whatever. But you can say whatever's on your mind and it's A-okay because you're an old person now. I kind of like it. It's kind of groovy. Do your shout out, Chicky Babe.
I know. I got to give my shout out to, thankfully, they have the power back on, and I'm hoping they're not getting snowed in today.
Hallelujah.
But Jessica, I love you. I'm sending you a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips. Love you, Jess.
Love you, Jesse. Did we ever actually identify the type of chips we are sending?
You know, there are different kinds every time. You know, there's Baked Lays, let's see. Oh, you know what? I probably shouldn't be calling that out on the air.
I wouldn't be calling that out on the air. I was thinking more lines of, are they potato chips? Are they corn chips? Are they
oh,
those bagel chips that I'm so fond of? Or those pita chips that I'm even fonder of? I like me some pita chips. How I went from politics to pita, I don't know. But anyway.
Because we jump on. See, now this is, I don't know if our listeners fully understand that, you know, the whole reason we started this radio show is because this is what this is the kind of shit we talk about. You know, you guys are just privy to our conversations. We love y'all. We love the fact that you listen in. But this is shit we talk about all the fucking time. I'm only mid-conversation standing outside having a smoke, and I will look, and it's like, ooh, squirrel. I literally do that.
Yes, she does. And I call her on it all the time. I'm like, oh, lost her. And I go out and I send the proverbial net and bring her back in.
Yep.
So anyway,
there she goes.
There's a puppy. Oh, there's a squee! And you can hear her squee all day. So, and I won't even tell her that she has a pretty mouth and she's still squee. Anyway, okay, back on topic. I did not watch any kind of reality TV again because I was so enraptured and enthralled by the whole electoral process and biting my fingernails, of course, the first hour because, you know, any little thing that happened, I went, you know, hyperventilating. Pretty much I exhausted myself, which is why I had to go to bed early. Because I was freaking out. And it was late by my standard, because not because I'm old, but because I wake up at 4 a.m. where I live to work an East Coast schedule.
Yeah, you stayed continuously on an East Coast schedule, so, you know.
Which is just fucking crazy when you live on the opposite coast and you've got a three-hour time gap. The one thing I will say is that when y'all are watching certain shows on Showtime that I have previously mentioned and adored, like Dexter and Homeland, I'm watching it at 6 o'clock in the evening when y'all are watching it at 9 o'clock. So fair play to me. There is a bonus to living on this coast, but that's about it. I'm happy to report to those who actually give a shit, which is probably not most of you, but I don't really give a fuck. It's my show. That my pod arrived today. It will be packed tomorrow and shipped out across the country ASAP because my happy ass is leaving the West Coast a week from today. So,
can I get a holla?
Holla back to me, honey. I'm coming back
Hell
to the
yeah.
East. Happy ass belongs because this was some bullshit. Let me tell you what. I have some West Coast friends. I love y'all to pieces. Y'all are not the norm out here. My West Coast peeps are A-OK, but they're few and far between. So I'm telling you, the West Coast and the East Coast are two totally different places, as you can attest.
Yeah, I grew up in California, so it's like, it's not quite Nevada. You know, I mean, you're a little bit more in the desert than I was.
Yes.
But yeah, it's like, yeah, and I gotta ask, California, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Prop 37, what the fuck is wrong with you people? We have been screaming about this all fucking week. How could you not want your food labeled? Don't you want to know what kind of poison you're putting in your body? Apparently you don't, but you know what? Some of us fucking do. I could not believe it. What happened to California? Y'all used to be, what was the Prop 8 we had years ago against gay people? Holy fuck? And now you, it's like, we don't want gays and we don't want food that we can't pronounce. Well, we do want food we can't pronounce. Don't tell me what's in it. Let me keep my head in the sand. I want to be an ostrich. Oh, my God. Don't y'all know you're getting fucking gas either way? Don't y'all know that? Please, please, California, wise up. Go back to being the fun liberal people you were. What the hell?
I don't get it. I mean, because, you know, I still have quite a few friends, you know, and some family that still live out there. And, I mean, I consider these highly intelligent people. You know, most of the people I know in California, fairly smart people. I don't know where these other fuckers come out of the woodwork to make the vote, like, so off balance, but it's like I'm at a loss for words. I really am.
I hear you. It's like, you know, I know that there are a lot of theories, and I've had a lot of conversations with people about organic food. I have to tell you, I am living proof of what happens to a person when they stop eating good food, or at least food that is not so laden with chemicals and nothing you can pronounce. I have spent the last year not having access to good organic food. And let me tell you what, my fat ass is living proof that if you eat shit will grow and stick onto your body. Half the reason I have to come home is so I can have, because quite frankly, you would think that where I live, I have access to really good food. Fuck, I'm right near California. Oh, au contraire, mon frere, that is not happening. If anything, the food here is even shittier because all that good food is being sent elsewhere. Oh my God, you would not fucking believe what I have to go through to get even clean salad. It's like, you know, you got to pay off this one and go talk to that one, and he's got a hookup on the other side of the county, and I'm like, what? Are you fucking kidding me? And they want like a pint of blood and a child and a dog sacrifice, and I'm like, no, I'm going home. North Carolina has more access to real food. Fuck this bullshit. I want to live to be 100 or somewhere around there. Shit, ain't going to happen eating the crap out here. And I got to tell you, these people look bad. The people out here look at least 15 to 17, 20 years older than they actually are. It's bad enough what the sun does to your outside. What about the shit you're shoving inside? It is adding up badly. Really badly. So I got to get the fuck out of here while I still have half a good-looking face, because this is bullshit. I will be looking like Grandpa Munster if I stayed out here another year.
Oh, my God.
It's scary.
It really is scary. It's like,
California, Nevada, all you folks out here and my friends out here who I do love dearly, please, demand to know what's in your food. Use your sunscreen. Do the things that might stop you from looking like a worn-out boot. There's a lot of worn-out-looking boots around here, and it's scary.
Boot to the head.
Well, no, just a boot face. I mean, you know those old boots in the westerns, and the cowboys like walk through cow shit in them, and you know, get blood on them, and you know they're worn, and you've had the same fucking boots on for 30 years, and they say they die with their boots on, because if they took their boots off, they'd have no feet, and the smell would kill an entire county. Seriously.
Yeah.
The boot-looking people we're talking about. And I have news for you. You think there are hicks in North Carolina?
Oh, they're everywhere.
Oh, my God. I got some of the ruddiest, reddest rednecks I have ever fucking seen down the street. I'm like, oh my God, why? It's short of a Confederate flag. I'm like, are you kidding me? But then you have to remember,
wow,
Nevada is a very conservative state. But funny enough,
yeah,
Obama twice in a row. I did not realize that the previous election, Nevada also voted for Obama. So I was like, all right, you're fucked up, but fair play to you on that count.
Killing.
All right, so we're 15 minutes out from our guest, are we not?
Yeah, we are at 9:15 right now. Did you want to pull cards, or do you want? Did you want to
ask the listeners if they want us to pull cards? Anybody want us to pull cards? Should I be shuffling? Is it time?
Karen, Brian has pulled one for each of us. You got King of Cups. You got King of Cups.
I got King of Cups.
Yes, ma'am. And I got Seven of Wands.
You got Seven of Wands. Okay, so what's the King of Cups mean? What does he say? Is he saying
anything? What are you at, Brian?
Has he got an interpretation?
Well, he pulled, let's see, the Chariot for Karen.
Okay, Karen's not on the show. I love you, Karen, but you're not on the show. So
I think she's pulling cards too. So yeah, let's go ahead and pull some cards.
Everybody pull cards. Okay, we're having a card pull fest.
Woo!
Cards.
And I'm really excited to talk to Jade because he does the astrology.
Yes.
I can't talk today. The Asterian astrology. So I want to pick his head about that.
Oh, I want to hear what he has to say. I love astrology. I don't know as much as I should. I don't know as much as I should about most things, but I try my best. Okay, I am now shuffling, so you have to tell me when
every
to stop.
Every day I'm shuffling. All right, we'll stop shuffling at the same time. So I'm going
to
do one more.
All right, you have to call it.
Okay, hold on a second.
All right, I'm holding one.
All right, now.
Okay, got it. How many?
Three.
Ready?
Let's pull three again.
All right, are we going to pull them at the same time?
Sure, go ahead. I'm pulling
one. Okay.
Two.
Two.
And three.
Three. What do you got on your first one?
Wow, I've got the same one you pulled for me. I think last week.
You know what's funny? The first one
what?
I pulled was You Will Be Betrayed.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. My first one is pay debts to escape trouble.
All right.
So, all right, read your second one, Mama.
New friends. That's pretty self-explanatory.
Ooh, I got flirtation.
Ooh, well, I often make friends by flirting.
Uh-huh.
What do you got for the third one?
A favorable relocation.
And I've got wrong decisions bring problems.
Uh-oh.
I don't think any of this is for me.
Yeah.
I do, however, think this is for Karen. So, Karen, if you still love me, you may not, because I was teasing you pretty hard a minute ago, but... what I'm getting is a situation, and the betrayal is a previous, it's a just passing thing where somebody told you one thing. It wasn't a betrayal like a bad betrayal. I think it was just like you were very misled by something somebody told you. The current thing is new friends, so I think you're going to be in a new situation where that's going to happen. And wrong decisions bring problems. I don't know what that's about. I don't know if that's about a decision. It looks like it's a decision that you have to make coming up very soon. I'm getting, like, a lot of immediacy around the whole thing. Is she hearing me? Is she confirming anything here?
She's on the line if you want me to pull her on real quick.
Pull her on.
Okay, hold on a second. Hey, you.
Hello.
Hello. Do you understand
yes,
Rain, me?
I still love you.
Okay. I'm old, bitchy, and tired. So are you getting what I'm saying about this shit?
I think so.
Yes, and the new friends coming in right now, and then there's a decision you're about to make, and if you make the wrong decision, it's going to cause you some major shit.
I think I know where that third one's coming from. The betrayal part I already got far as being misled.
Yeah.
I know just about precisely where that one's coming from. On the new friends part, I'm pretty sure where that's coming from. And
okay.
With the wrong decision, are you sure it's one of mine or is it somebody else's?
No, it's one of yours.
Okay.
This is coming into being. This is not something you've already done.
Okay.
There's going to be a choice. I think it's about going somewhere.
Okay.
And it's a shorter travel. It's not like a vacation or something. This is a short distance thing.
Okay.
I don't know if this is going to be a car. I mean, it could be as innocuous as a flat tire or some kind of car issue. Or you're just going to be in a spot that feels, like my sister likes to say, kinky. Where you get vibed out and it's very uncomfortable.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Don't do
the
that
decisions
one.
I was going to say, the decision's already been made on that one. I've got plans for later this week. So, you never know. It could well be with this situation that it's just going to be a little bit hinky. I'll keep that in mind and just, you know, be on my guard, basically.
Well, if you can kind of go in and you go in expecting it, you can kind of maybe, I mean, these are not completely detrimental. This is not a life-altering reading by any stretch of the imagination. I mean,
it could be as something as simple as, oh, yipe, what's he doing here?
Pretty much. It's a rather timid, innocuous, or not timid, but it's a rather innocuous reading. It's not the be-all or end-all of anything. It's more or less like a couple of uncomfortable situations and meeting up with new folks. There you go.
No problem. That I think I know where you're coming from on all of those, actually. So
there you go.
So, good luck with your move, dear. I have met.
Is that me?
Hmm?
Oh, it's talking to my sister.
I couldn't hear you, babe.
Hey, co-host, are you there?
Yeah. I was just listening to y'all.
Mary and Josephine, stay with the program, literally. Who are you reading tonight? Is that me? Is that somebody else? What's the sitch?
Oh, this reading, this actually, I think this is for somebody who's listening in after we broadcast. This is actually, I know, actually, we've got 5 more minutes. Do you mind if I put you back in the queue, sweetie?
Of course not. Go for it.
Okay. All right.
Karen.
Thank you, sweetie.
Travel safely, Raina. Yeah, I know English.
You, darling. We'll talk offline.
Later.
All right, babe.
All right. Now this reading, I'm picking up on the person that's for Now, I will read these again. The first card is pay debts to escape trouble.
Okay.
That's basically keep up on your bills. Flirtation, don't take it too seriously. Because at this point in your life, it's like this person is wanting someone so bad by their side, and they will take any amount of flirtation and just go, like, friggin' rocket it to the moon. So take it with a grain of salt. Don't take life too seriously. And you will find somebody when you're not looking. So just keep that in mind. And a favorable relocation. I'm thinking this is with a job. And, you know, I'm thinking I know who this is, but I don't want to say his name, but it is male.
Give me a hint. Is it someone I know?
No, but I will tell you later. I will tell you later.
We will protect the guilty.
Yeah, because I'm not sure if he's listening in right now or not. He's actually a coworker of mine.
I gotcha.
So it's all good. It's all good. But this is just relax, take a deep breath, sweetie. You're fine. She's coming.
Oh, you're into the person you're reading for. Sorry.
and I'm done with that. If he happens to listen to this and has any questions, he can ask me. Excuse me. The air's got bones in it.
The air has bones in it. Again?
Yeah, I was choking on it.
Well, get that shit out of your teeth and go find our guests, would you?
He should be calling in a few minutes. We'll wait for him. Because I have a funny feeling somebody else is listening in. Yeah.
What?
I am not interested in dealing with no trifling bitches. Leave me alone. I'm done. I said I was done.
Done.
I don't want your nonsense. Leave me alone. Go on with your life. Go be happy. Leave me the fuck alone.
Is that person listening right now?
I have a funny feeling that person's listening right now. If they are not, I don't give a shit.
We don't need no trifling bitches.
No. And I'm telling you right now, the next time this person tries to coerce her way back into my life, things are going to get ugly.
It's going to get ugly.
This is your last fucking warning. Leave me alone. Enough.
Don't be fucking with my family. I'll take a bitch out.
Yeah. I'm done with nonsense. I don't have time for that. I don't like being negative. You know, I want to bring positive back into my life. Just go be happy. Leave me alone.
Seriously.
Anyway.
Seriously. I have to tell you, my roommate, I have a roommate named Nikki. He is the type of person that looks at life like, you know what? If everybody can be on the same page, that would be lovely. And the people that don't want to be on the page, let them find their own fucking book. And we were having a great laugh the other morning because Nikki's boyfriend is gay. Is not gay. Of course, they're both gay, but his boyfriend is a Republican, and he's like, oh, my God. And we're sitting there watching the return, you know, some of the election returns, and he's just shaking his head because he's looking at his phone thinking, I don't understand how I got involved with a man that's a Republican. And I'm like, dude, I don't understand it either. And I was like, is that a deal breaker for you? Because, you know, for some people, that's a major deal breaker. It would be for me. And he's like, no, I love him. And I'm like, okay. But But, you know, he's got the attitude that, you know, everybody should try to help everybody and we should all be in this together. But I'll tell you what, when he finds out a bitch is trifling with me, ooh, he don't like no trifling bitches. Oh, and he will take a bitch down. Sweetest boy alive. I love my roommate, but he is just, don't fuck with his people. Don't fuck with his friends. Don't fuck with his family. Oh, no. He doesn't take kindly to that shit. So for all you trifling bitches out there, don't be trifling, because you're fucking with the wrong set of witches, because I got my sisters back. So if you play any games, I'm going to play a smackdown on you like you have never seen. Thank you.
All right.
Oh,
so
yes, honey. I miss my gay man. I miss my family gay men, my gay men in my family. That's another reason I have to come home, because while I have a roommate that I adore, I need to come home to my gay people. Thank you.
And our brother and our brother are missing you.
My brother missed my brother.
We will take a breath for a moment. Our guest is calling in.
We have a guest. Oh, that's right. We have a guest. Bring him on.
Yes. Let me bring him.
Bring him in.
Hey, Jade. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hi, Colin.
You guys are very entertaining, I'll have to say. I've been listening to going, wow, this is a very entertaining show.
We try. We are so glad that you can join us tonight. We're glad we're happy.
Oh, no, thank you for inviting
me.
I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. We are so glad to have you. So, tell me everything I don't know, which I don't know a lot, so there you go. You've got plenty of time.
Tell you everything you don't know about me, huh?
Yes.
That's a nice introduction. Let me see.
No, I'm kidding. I'm talking about your specialties, like astrology.
Well, you know,
the other things you do. Yeah, I'm. As I said earlier in the show, I love astrology. What bits of it I do know about. I don't know everything. Not an expert. I kind of look at you as though you are an expert. So I stand to learn a great deal this evening.
Well, it's a very the subject of astrology is far more complicated than people think that it is. You know, in India, you have to go to college, you have to have an education to be an astrologer. It's not like it is here, and so a big part of my work as an astrologer, which is just about a month and a half away from becoming a public issue, is shifting the zodiac, because the system of astrology that we use here in the West is completely behind other cultures like India and Tibet and so forth. So I'm going to make a pretty interesting attempt to upgrade it, and it's going to upset a lot of people. And basic understanding is this: this Earth, it wobbles. It doesn't have an even rotation. And when they made the calculations for Western astrology, they didn't calculate the wobble of the Earth's axis, making all Western astrology off by 23 degrees. So 93% of people on this planet are not the sign that they think that they are. Well, at least not. I'm not going to say this planet. The majority of the places on this Earth use the proper zodiac. It just so happens in America and Europe do not, because of the separation between astronomy and astrology. So obviously this is a controversial subject, you know, and I've been given seminars about this. I have a book out about the subject. And, it's a very upsetting experience for a lot of people.
That's really? So, like, okay,
yeah.
So if it's off by 23, am I right, 23 degrees? Is that what
you said?
You
got it.
Okay, so if it's off by 23 degrees, how many zodiac, like, placements does that move me, and in which direction?
Well, you subtract 23 degrees, which means 93% of people on this Earth are the sign right before. And you know, I came from a pretty strong background in astrology before I went to India. And my first day of school in India, astrology school, my teacher said to me, oh, when were you born? I said, May 8th. And he goes, oh, you're an Aries. I'm like, I'm not an Aries, I'm a Taurus. And he started laughing. He said, "No, no, no, no." He said, "He goes, this is what we do. We kind of educate Westerners here." And that was day one. And so I grew up thinking, you know, Maeve meant Taurus, which oddly enough, I was already a practicing astrologer. So this was very upsetting. This was not some light experience of going, oh, you know, I'm learning astrology in India. I was very upset by him saying I was an Aries, not a Taurus. Then I went home that night and just read Taurus, practical, conservative, earthly, and then I read Aries, bold, brash, brave, and I went, oh, my God, I'm an Aries. And and it shifted everything. Now, so this is officially, I don't even know if you guys have researched this part of my work, this is a campaign that I have going on that starts with Mevio, which is a TV station that's owned by MTV that's going to start being produced early January, and I'm going to start making this a public issue, which is going to be very intense for people. But here's the thing to make things a little bit more comfortable about the subject. I'm not a big fan of the 12 signs. Inside these 12 signs, there are bright stars that have individual meanings, and those meanings of those individual stars are far more important to me than the actual constellations, which means we have three types of Aries, three types of Tauruses, three types of Virgos, and so forth, and those are far more important than the signs themselves. The fact that I'm an Aries means a little bit to me, but not nearly as much as the fact that I'm a Hades. A Hades is a type of Aries, and reading Hades suits me far more than just reading Aries by itself. But it's controversial because, like in Aries, they say would get along with a Sagittarius or get along with a Leo. Well, in this system, there's a type of type of Leo that doesn't get along with a type of Sagittarius, and so it's a much more multidimensional system. And, you know, unfortunately, people are going to have to educate themselves more about the subject because it is a subject that requires a lot more awareness than I think people have right at this moment. And I'm, you know, there's several reasons why I'm doing this. One is my big issue with Western astrology is the goal of an astrologer is to align someone with their higher self. And I believe wholeheartedly Western astrology aligns someone with the wrong sign. So it's doing an injustice as opposed to doing justice for itself. And I believe that everyone that is hearing this for the first time is going, wait a minute, you know, I actually do feel like that sign that I've been reading my whole life. And that's because you've been reading it your whole life. It's called the power of suggestion. If you and this has created what I call an improper alignment in people. So you do feel like that sign that you've been reading your whole life because it's called the power of suggestion. But unfortunately, it's not who the person is. And so,
kind of like a person that sees certain things in their own personality and say, oh, well, I'm this and that, therefore it's correct.
Well, I think people have been reading astrology long enough to where they've even developed those traits. That's what happens to the power of suggestion. If you put someone in a room and you tell them there's something their whole life, they're eventually going to believe it. And it's going to become a part of their identity. And this is the big dilemma and the problem I have with Western astrology because I think it creates a great injustice. And this is not something that I'm doing by myself, by the way. I have India behind this, Tibet's behind this. Ancient Egypt was so passionate about the wobble of the Earth's axis and proper astrology. The pyramids of Giza, a part of their construction was just to calculate the wobble. They used proper astrology, which means all ancient cultures use the system that I use. And there's a reason why we use the incorrect system, which is very controversial in itself. But I'm going to be expressing all these things publicly starting January 1st of 2013.
Wow.
Awesome.
I'm already fascinated.
Yeah, so I don't know if you knew this was coming in this show, but yeah, no, I deal with a lot of anger with people in the world of astrology, you know, and because of this particular subject. And see, Western astrology, by the way, it doesn't believe that it follows the stars to begin with. It says that it follows the seasons. My debate with that is, well, the seasons are different in Australia. So if you are going to say astrology is seasonal, then you have to have a different zodiac in the different locations on this earth where they have different seasons. Because Australia, the seasons are exactly opposite to ours, but they still use our system. So by the time this debate was meant to happen worldwide, I have already pulled the rug from underneath it. I mean, it's a debate I've already explained in some way, shape, or form. And even like Sue Miller, we were supposed to do a big debate on in a magazine called Wired. And she read my book, and she backed right out of it because she knew she was going to lose. This is a very interesting experience where there isn't really much to debate because I'm now pulling all ancient culture with me. The Babylonians, the Egyptians, the ancient Greeks, they all use this system, and I'm proving that for people. So people are eventually going to have to make this change.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, see, like you, because your birthday is October 20th, are actually Vulcan.
My you got birthday it. Is well, actually, October 20th is...
Yeah.
Is a Vulcan, and see, the interesting thing is, I think she might be one of the few that doesn't change.
Oh, cool.
But, I mean, as far as the main sun sign is concerned, as far as, like, Libra is concerned.
Of course,
yeah,
you can't move.
Personally, yeah, I
want to know more about this. This is amazing. So am I Vulcan? can I look that up on your website?
At astrologysphere.com, I have all the, and it's interesting, my website, astrologysphere.com, has all the 27 stars and their meaning behind it and the days of the when the sun moves through the signs. Like, as an example, all this planet right now, other than America and Europe, is observing, getting ready to watch the sun go into Scorpio, which takes place November 16th. And so that's all those alignments are on my astrologysphere.com when the sun goes into the signs and through the stars. And the stars, the system of astrology I do is called Asterian astrology, which means star-based astrology. So these 27 stars in ancient culture, the Egyptians used them, the Hindus use them now. This was the original system. The 12 was watered down specifically by Catholicism.
Oh.
Yeah, they pushed this system first and foremost out there publicly around 600 AD, knowing it was wrong, knowing they'd always have an upper hand on astrologers, because the biggest battle spiritually in ancient time was between priests and astrologers. And so Rome and Catholicism created anti-divination laws, making astrology illegal, and that's when astrology in the real system went underground. And they allowed the incorrect system to stay surface, knowing they would always have an upper hand on astrologers. Then astronomers got caught in that mix and started to make it more scientific as opposed to metaphysical, and they also have been keeping it separate as well, knowing they would have the upper hand on astrologers in the West as well. That's been going on for thousands of years now. Just in the West, though. The rest of the culture, rest of the planets, and the rest of the cultures on this Earth follow the right zodiac. So most people are that sign right before in, like, you know, 70% of this planet.
Wow.
I'm fascinated.
You know,
I had been trying to explain this to her.
What?
Oh, no, I had been trying to explain it because I had heard Jade on what was it, Hex?
Yeah.
You know, and I was just absolutely fascinating because I have never felt like my sign. You know, I am a Leo Virgo bicuspid. I mean, I'm August 24th.
Okay.
You know, so it's like, but I've never felt like a Virgo, and I've never felt like a Leo either.
Well, that makes you a Persephone. And
yes.
That is
she's one of my girls.
Yes, and this is, see, now here's the thing to me that is so powerful about this is the ancient pagan calendar that I'm using. I'm going to be showing that as well. I mean, the big day of the goddess Hecate is November 16th. That's considered her day of celebration. Why? Because that's the day the sun goes into Scorpio. All ancient cultures were aware of this. So they gave this sign, Scorpio, predominantly to Hecate. And so on November 16th, when they start celebrating the feasts of Hecate on this earth in ancient time, that was because when the sun was in Scorpio, her sign. And also Hermes was celebrated on the 16th of September, which is the day the sun goes into Virgo, which is his sign. And so all the ancient pagans used this system. And so I'm trying to get pagans a little bit passionate about this, because aligning the zodiac properly is aligning with these gods properly as well. So it means when you were born, what was your birthday? August 25th, you said? Or 24th?
August 24th, 1973.
That means the goddess Persephone chose you to be born under her sign because you had characteristics that were like her own. This is how it worked in ancient time.
Aww.
I find it quite fascinating. I mean, being born in Aries is one thing, but being born under the star Hades makes perfect sense to me. It means he chose me to be born under his sign. And so there is an intimacy with this system that it far supersedes what we've had here in the West by far.
Wow.
So,
yeah, I love it.
Learning your sign is kind of learning about your, when people say, oh, my guides are speaking to me. Well, the ancients didn't say guides. They had names for them because we were born under the signs of those guides to help us evolve and advance. So Persephone would be the goddess that chose you specifically to be born under her sign.
You know, and it's funny because I have, you know, three goddesses and three gods that I follow. And Persephone, it was just, it was in the spring, and I was standing outside, and, you know, Hecate is one, the Morgan is the second, and then Persephone just called to me. It was like she was standing right there by Ayascot Creek in the back of my house. And it was just like she just started talking to me. I said, okay, you know, and we connected. And it's like, you know, she's kind of gone underground for the winter, but... Yeah, I've always felt a connection with her.
I've always experienced Persephone be much stronger when she descends. I'm born under star Hades, so I would feel her stronger in those moments. Now, by the way, I don't worship Hades. I worship Hecate as well. She's the only goddess I worship, and the path that I had chosen in India was very specific that choosing one deity was very important. I'm not encouraging other people to do that. I'm talking about my path personally. But in order to experience the power of the deity that you were worshiping, you had to have a very intimate relationship with it. You know, my guru in India would always say, you know, you pick one and you stick with it like a marriage. He says it's more intimate that way. And he would also say in India, you know, to develop the power of that deity required that intimacy, where the deity would shower its power on you if you had a very deep, intimate link with it, which was single point of devotion. So this is the way I was trained in India. So when I picked Hecate, it's been 18 years, just her. And I don't worship other deities. And but nevertheless, she's not Hades, but she is, you know, nevertheless heavily connected to Hades in the underworld. My moon is under the star of Hydra, and I've ended up merging the different components of my chart together in order to find Hecate. So it's not as simple as I'm saying with the Persephone thing. Like, I don't expect you to run off and worship just Persephone only after this. But nevertheless, and nor does she care, but she would be the one guiding you to your deity of choice, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Well, I actually live on a Three Fort Crossroad. You would love my house. If you're ever in North Carolina, you should come visit because it's a very magical spot. North Carolina.
Charlotte. Oh, North Carolina.
Yeah.
I've been there. But, I've been to North Carolina on two different occasions, and I found it quite powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's something in the water and the ley lines of the water.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, yeah. It's like,
I really I am.
Yeah, that's really what, she's actually coming back.
Yeah, I'm actually coming to North Carolina. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just to throw something in there, you know, people are free to do whatever they want. I want people to research what I say, because if you research astrology and you research what I'm telling you, if you, like, call Harvard as an example or Yale and say, hey, some astrologer came on and said that the ancient Babylonians followed the wobble of the Earth's axis, he's going to concur. He's going to agree with you. I'm trying to get people not to just listen to what I say, but to go educate themselves and learn. But once you come to that same conclusion that I did, I think it's quite powerful that there is an opportunity for paganism to have an extremely advanced version of astrology that should somehow be a leader for the other systems to somewhere follow at one point or the other. And, you know, like, India has the right system. Tibet has the right system. Well, we are now in this position where we might have the opportunity to have the correct system, which to me is really advanced. And I think that I hope that people kind of follow along with it on some level or the other, because there's a lot of opportunity in this for everybody. You know, the worshiping of the gods properly on their various days, this is going to explain all that and why. And it is perfectly aligned with the zodiac, and I would say astrology is the basis or even the core, I think, of a lot of paganism and even other spiritual cultures. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to really show an advancedness that is not entirely around paganism to this day. And I'm not undermining it, nor am I putting it down. I'm just saying there's an opportunity here for more growth.
Yeah.
I'm actually reading the description of Vulcan. Did you read this, sis?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You want to talk about being nailed to it, like, immediately. I'm like, holy shit, I do design jewelry. Holy shit, I do like decorative clothing and jewelry. Holy shit, all of these other things. I'm like, oh, you're kidding me. You just, like, if I let this information out about me, people will have me nailed. Wait a minute. That's like too close.
This has been my life, you know, since what I did is when I was in India, I left Western astrology to become a Hindu astrologer. And then when I was in India, I learned that their system was not channeled by great saints, like they said, but was given to them by Alexander the Great. And so I went to a museum and got the book, which is called the Yavana Jataka, and translated it back from Sanskrit to Latin. And I put the whole system back together again. The definitions you're reading on the Astrology Sphere site are not mine. They are the exact definitions that the Egyptians created 2,700 years ago. This is a big deal. You know, this is not some simple matter. Now, when I reconstructed the book and pulled it back to its Roman Greco roots, I did it because I was bored in India. You know, my guru emphasized silence, and I had to be silent for about 2.5 weeks. So in that silence, I started reconstructing it just simply out of boredom, not knowing it had never been done before, ever. And so once I put it together, it changed everything. And my job as an astrologer shifted because of simple accuracies you cannot find with Western astrology. And not to create fear around the subject of astrology, but, you know, like earlier today, one of my clients came in, and she's like, I'm dating two of these guys. I want you to tell me which one that is best for me. And I pull up the charts of these two men, and one of them I look at, and I said, well, this one born on this date is not a faithful human being. He's just not. Wow. And it's said with that sense of accuracy and that sense of simplicity. And it's because of the sign he was born under. One of these 27 signs, I'm not going to name what it is because I don't want to create controversy around it, but men who are born under it, they have two different lives. They have a life that you see and a life that's totally hidden. And this was said by the Egyptians that if you marry this man, he's going to build up another life that you never know about. So I told her about this. She was furious. She actually got up and left about 30 minutes after me saying this, and she was so upset because that was the guy that she liked the most out of two. She went home, called one of her friends, and said, this astrologer said that this man is not a faithful man, and he's nicer than the other guy. Well, she got a phone call from someone later, and I got a phone call about an hour before the show and said, you'll never guess, I contacted his ex-girlfriend, so-and-so did, and he had affairs continuously on her. And she found out, and that's why she left him. And I said, that's the type of man you're dealing with. This was just basically looking at someone's chart within a matter of 2 minutes. That's how accurate this system is. It's changed my whole world of being an astrologer. You can say things with accuracy without even flinching, and you know, because of the system. And it's intense. Now, I'm not saying everybody born on that sign is like that. If someone, the sign that I'm referring to, if someone's living consciously, the sign is very powerful and it's very spiritually evolved, but it's a sign that often deals with sex addiction. And if they don't channel it into something spiritual, then it just sinks and it becomes something detrimental to them and everybody around them. So if someone is born under that sign, there is definitely enormous opportunities inside of it, but people who are not definitely struggling with that particular subject.
Wow.
And this, it goes on, you know, like the thing with Vulcan, jewelry making, all those types of things. Yeah, I mean, I cannot tell you here, you know, give you readings in Hollywood, how many women born under Vulcan, you know, are designers of some kind. And I can say in a reading, oh, yeah, you're a designer of some kind. And you're right, and you're going to be right. When we align with this system, it's going to change things. And I do believe eventually that people will align with the system, because when people just start thinking for themselves and go investigate everything that I'm saying, they're going to realize that, oh, my God, he's right. We have to change. Now, also, by the way, not to, you know, I want to hear more from you guys, but at the same time, those particular definitions on my website are 2,700 years old, and I am upgrading them to modernize them. I don't agree with every single one of them, believe it or not, because as I've been doing this job for 18 years, and there are some signs that take on very different characteristics than they have listed. But this was the format of the way they saw human beings, you know, 2,700 years ago. You know, Bacchus is the best example, which is a type of Leo, I think is a little bit different than what I have listed. But I don't, at this stage in my career, want to change their words yet. I want them to be out there much longer, what they felt the signs represented, before I start getting in there and adding my own input.
Fascinated to tell you. I mean, I understand that, you know, people get so accustomed to what they already know. Like when they said Pluto wasn't a planet anymore and everybody freaked out. You have to go with
that kind of
wheel.
Made me sad too.
Well,
it's so
but you
the
have
nature
to,
of Pluto to debunk
you have to
himself.
With what feel as opposed to what you would like to stay real. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
100%.
It's better to go with what's actually true and benefit from what's actually true instead of whatever myth or, you know, you've subscribed to. Just because you've subscribed to a certain pattern of thinking your entire life doesn't mean it's the correct pattern. When you come out with something like this that completely blows the doors off of what we've already known, that is a huge opportunity for people to learn and really understand what's going on. So I don't, when someone, you know, comes up with something like this that is just so outside of what we already think we know, and it's provable, and you can see the accuracy, I don't understand why you would find opposition to that. That's kind of my thing. I like
that would be your
shit.
Thing, and that would be the reason why I'm on your show, and I cannot tell you how many people have contacted me at one point and said, oh, we want you to be on our show, and then they research what I do, and they call me and cancel it. Because of how controversial this subject is. You know, even, you know, I gave a seminar in Tucson not too long ago, and this lady after the seminar was over, and she's like, you know, I'll tell you why I don't believe in what you're saying. And I'm like, well, why? And she's like, because you feel like a Taurus to me, and I feel like a Virgo. And she goes, I watched you talking up there about this new sign. She goes, you don't remind me of an Aries at all. And I'm like, what makes you think? I said, first of all, you don't know me very well. There's like the music I do and all the other various things I do, which to me are very, very Aries. I said, why do I not remind you of an Aries? And she said, because you have love. And I said, are you going to try to tell me that people who are born under Aries can't love? We've created these strange archetypes in our mind of what a Scorpio is. You know, I had one of my friends also saying, you know, oh, God, it's so hard for me not to think I'm a Taurus, not a Gemini, because I have two sides. I'm like, yeah, and we all do. You've just chose to identify that. I definitely have two sides. I mean, I have a light side. I have a dark side. Every human being does. But we've taken these small archetypes that Linda Goodman had created in the book Sun Signs, which she was the master at creating archetypes. And we just have identified them. And I watch TV and it's like, oh, I hate Scorpios and oh, I hate Capricorns. And I'm like, people are being judged and not even those signs. You know, so the fact I was an Aries, she's like, oh, no, I don't think you're an Aries because you have love coming forth from you. I'm like, okay, these are the archetypes that I want gone. So an Aries person can't have love. That's what you're saying. You know, then another lady said, oh, but you're saying I'm a Scorpio, not a Sag, but I've traveled around the world. And I'm like, you know what? So have I, but I'm not a Sag. We've just created these archetypes where astrology is so much deeper than this. And I really hope that we can bring the power of astrology back because this science is for real. And I have a feeling that when people align with the zodiac this way, they're going to recognize how powerful it actually is. I think it's going to change the way we deal with astrology and everything.
Well, I have to tell you, even just from the brief description that I got on Vulcan, and I have to tell you, yeah, I really identified with that one more than what I actually thought I was. So, and I researched a couple of other people that fell out of their quote-unquote standard sun sign. And I have to tell you, these descriptions, please, I got to encourage everybody. If you're listening, I posted a link to astrologysphere.com. please check this out. This is amazing. You're going to see stuff that goes, yep, 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 and you're not going to believe it. It's incredible. So I'm really behind you on this.
It means a lot because I have dealt with so much opposition. And you know, being in Aries, I don't mind the debate. I mean, I really don't. I'm gonna say this, and it's very Aries to say what I'm going to say, but I've had so many debates, and I never lose them regarding this subject because of anyone who researches what I say is going to come to the same conclusion that we don't use a proper zodiac. And it's not – I mean, but also at the same time, it's revealed to me how people believe whatever they read. I mean, when Sue Miller gets out there and says, oh, well, we don't follow the stars. We follow the seasons. So people say, okay, we follow the seasons, and it goes out around the planet that Western astrology follows the seasons. I'm like, wait, are you using your head? Because Australia has different seasons than we do. But they use our zodiac. It doesn't make any sense, really, does it, that it's seasonal. It's not seasonal at all. And as a matter of fact, there are a lot of astrologers in the West that follow what we call sidereal astrology that have chose not to make it a debate. There's a lot of sidereal astrologers out there. They just use the 12 signs, and they use the proper zodiac. But they've also somewhat engulfed the belief that it's seasonal, too, without using the mind. There are so many things that we can believe in that I think we have to validate on some level before we truly invest our energy into it. And I'm watching a system of astrology, a wrong system, has survived, really just since, 400 AD, but it's survived through incorrect word of mouth for this long. And that's the way people think, because very few people want to challenge what they've learned or what they've heard. And I'm really telling people, you know, once this thing blows up, because this starts January 1st, 2013, this goes public, everything I'm telling you. And just you guys, I'll tell you right here, you watch what you see what I'm getting ready to deal with. I mean, the people are just going to start attacking without even learning. Or even validate or investigating what I'm saying. People are, because I deal with it already. I watched this happen in my life. This is going to create a big stir.
We got your back. We got your back. We'll
kick
your butt.
Are you kidding? and just as another brief example, I have friends who are, you know, they're Scorpio. They're diehard Scorpio. And I just looked up a couple of people that I know personally. And they're actually not Scorpios. They're actually Dinus Libras.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, the description is, you nailed so hard to the wall that you can't even, we could talk about this privately, of course, but I mean, absolutely, to the letter, certain people that I know who swear they're Scorpio, and they're really not. This is amazing shit. People, please check out this website. You're going to freak. You're just going to love it, and you're going to freak.
And this information, which I'm going to tell you right now, I'm encouraging people to look at astrology this way. Okay, this is for people who know a little bit more about astrology than just their sun sign.
Right.
Saturn is exalted in the constellation Libra.
Uh-huh.
Not Scorpio, not Virgo, Libra. This is known throughout all Western astrology. Why would Saturn, the planet that is the darkest planet in the zodiac, the most challenging, be exalted inside of Libra? So the dark energy that Libras, because I deal with this all the time, say that they constantly feel, which they identify with Scorpio, is actually Libra. Libra is the sign that does deal with darkness, because not only is Saturn exalted there, which is it's its favorite sign, it's the sun, the abode of all light, his least favorite sign. Because when the sun goes through Libra, he has the least amount of light. And so the dark aspect that we've given Scorpio is actually Libra. Scorpio is as you might have heard on the Hex show, Scorpios are the divine therapists of the zodiac. And there are traits. My two previous clients today were both, thought they were Sag, ended up Scorpio, and both of them were psychologists. Both of them were. And I'm like, okay, that is a Scorpio trait. They give Scorpio in ancient culture to unlocking patterns of the subconscious mind. we give Sagittarius to law and to lawyers and things of that nature, but therapists we give to Scorpio. And Libras, you know, it's a very different sign. And I find, honestly, that the normal traits of Libra fit most of the people that think they're Scorpio, because in L.A., again, I can't tell you how many fashion designers think they're Scorpios. I'm like, no, you're a Libra. you're a Libra. You know what I mean? And that goes on, you know, there's a lot of that going on. But there's just a power to astrology that I think when we start to really make the change and we start looking at certain things, like, why would Saturn be exalted in Libra? Why not Scorpio? If Scorpio is the darkest sign in the zodiac, why did Saturn say, no, my favorite sign is Libra? There's a reason for that, and we have to start taking notes of these minor things that we know, and I think when we do that, we start to come to the conclusion that these ancients used the right system, and they knew things about astrology that we are still learning right now.
This is amazing. I'm loving it. I am loving this. This is awesome.
And you remember, I don't know if you remember when the story came out, Park Kunkel, an astronomer in Minnesota, which oddly enough, this is really bizarre, and you can verify this incredible statement. When I released my book, Austerian Astrology, it was on the day that this went public, where they were, there's 13 signs, oh, fooey coos. I released my book on the day that that information came out. But I, you know, being, you know, I have a literary agent, and I was in New York, and I watched what New York did when this information came out, because the publishing industry makes so much money through people downloading their mobile horoscopes.
Say
astrology was wrong, they lost a ton of money in 48 hours. So they contacted the publishing companies, contacted their astrologers, their writers, and said, listen, you guys have to change this immediately. So Sue Miller came out and said, oh, they're wrong. Just go back to your sign. It's a mistake. We've known about the wobble. Meanwhile, I knew for a fact she was freaking out. And one thing about her
I read an article about that. Absolutely. I read an article about it, and they tried to sweep it under the rug almost immediately because you heard about it, people freaked, and people don't like it when other people get hysterical, and they swept this under the rug.
Yep, and because it was costing the publishing industry also a lot of money. And then you just watched, you know, the astrologers came out, and how dare you astronomers, you know, try to humiliate us and try to say we don't know what we're doing. Meanwhile, I'm going, well, why don't you prove astronomers wrong then? I mean, what happened, and I'm going to say it on the show, I said it before, and this is the information that it's a little bit advanced, but it's the reason why we have this problem. The Western zodiac that we know about is called the tropical zodiac. That's what it's called, the tropical zodiac. We get that name from the tropical year. In 2,000 years ago, it wasn't called a calendar. It was called the tropical year. There was 1 year, 12 months, 30 to 31 days in those months. That was called the tropical year. That's what they called it. And you can verify this. They didn't call it a calendar. When they said, you know, what day is it? Oh, what day is it in the tropical year? That word was used in placement of the word calendar. It was called the tropical year. The zodiac aligned, because the zodiac keeps evolving, it constantly changes, it doesn't stay the same. The zodiac aligned with the tropical calendar. This is extremely important information that is being said on your show that only a few human beings on this earth know. The tropical zodiac, or the tropical calendar, aligned with the zodiac for the first time in 26,000 years, 1,700 years ago. So the astronomer Ptolemy, who was the main astrologer at that time, said, guess what? We have a tropical zodiac, meaning the tropical calendar aligned with the zodiac for the first time in 26,000 years. So he said, we have a tropical zodiac. That information spread throughout the whole Mediterranean, and they started calling it the tropical zodiac. That alignment would only last, though, for 100 years. In that same time frame that Ptolemy was alive, Catholicism stepped into power. And right after the death of Ptolemy, made astrology illegal, so it never evolved and changed and upgraded. What we call the tropical zodiac was an alignment that happened only for 100 years. But because Catholicism stepped into power at the same time that this alignment happened, astrology in the West never had the chance to align. Now, other cultures like India and Tibet that were using the zodiac said, yeah, there's a tropical zodiac. That only lasts for 100 years. And after the 100 years, they went back to aligning the zodiac correctly, and then the constellations moved away from the tropical year, which was the calendar, and then business was usual for most of the planet other than Europe, where it stayed. The calculations we use are exactly the same calculations that existed when Catholicism created anti-divination laws on this earth. And so the astrologers had to go underground with it, so it never really became a subject that was public in the West. But that's the real reason why we have the tropical zodiac, which is what Westerners call the zodiac, the tropical zodiac, was an alignment that only lasted 100 years.
So it hasn't been accurate since, until you.
See, yeah, all astrologers used to use the right zodiac. I mean, all before that alignment took place, all astrologers use proper astrology. It means the Egyptians followed the wobble, the Babylonians followed the wobble, the Sumerians followed the wobble, the Greeks followed the wobble. The Greeks were the masters of astrology, in my opinion, but they followed the wobble. And then, nevertheless, that alignment took place. They aligned the calendar, aligned with the zodiac, and then it never evolved in the West because, at the same time, Catholicism made it illegal to practice astrology in the West. So the information we use and the dates we use are where it was stuck 1,700 years ago.
Holy crap!
Yeah. So it's just no one has really aligned it properly, and you know, and so it's, we've had this issue for 1,700 years in the West with this tropical zodiac. There isn't a tropical zodiac anymore. There was for 100 years, 1,700 years ago. There was a tropical zodiac, but there's not a tropical zodiac anymore.
I have a question because, most of the people in the pagan community have felt the shift happen, you know, the awakening going on. But with the physical shift, in the earth, I mean, they've literally had to adjust, like, airport runways and everything because the earth has shifted, especially the United States. Does that affect the astrology as well, or?
That is so interesting you asked me that. I've only been asked that one other time, and that was in the Wired magazine article that never was released. They said, do you think that the changes on this earth, and there clearly have been some earthquakes to, you know, create a shift in the wobble, does that affect astrology? My answer is yes. But see, an astrologer and astronomer used to be the same thing. In India, they still are. In Tibet, they still are. You're not going to go to India and find an astronomer that doesn't have an awareness of astrology at the same time. So they will, as long as with me as well, be making it will be shifting the calculations slightly to fit what has happened. But yeah, that means we do have to pay attention to that.
Okay.
Amazing.
Yeah, I was curious. I was like, you know, because I felt this big energy shift coming. She can tell you, at least 3 years, I've been like, something's coming. I don't know what it is, but something's coming. And like right around August, September, it was just like, oh, I'm seeing stuff I've never seen before. What the hell is going on?
Well, also, Saturn went into Libra, his exalted sign, August 1st of this year. And he stays there until November 16th of 2014. And Saturn is exalted in Libra means he emphasizes his most negative traits when he goes through Libra because he it's like his party time. Saturn gets the party, you know. And so he throws his energy out everywhere. And that's why there's a very subtle energy you feel out there that is pretty intense right now. You can feel it. And it's a part of the transitions that the Mayans were talking about because they were aware that this alignment was going on at the same time. There's a lot of – and by the way, this whole Mayan, December, big alignment that's coming, it's November 13th when you use the proper zodiac. It's not December. It's November. And you go online and you Google big eclipse of 2012, we're a few days away from it. It's November 13th. So Hurricane Sandy and all these minor earthquakes that are breaking out throughout this planet are a part of this eclipse. And again, because Western astrologers are trying to use their zodiac with it, they've missed it. It's November 13th.
Wow.
And this is whole Sandy and all this stuff is a part of it. It's all a part of the big – and you can even – again, you can Google what I'm saying. Big eclipse. There's another one in December, there's no doubt, but this one in November – is significant and a little bit bigger than the one December. And we're filling. Wow. Look what's happened. I mean, we're already in ecliptic time. 2 weeks before and 2 weeks after an eclipse, your call is considered ecliptic time. And look what's happened in the last couple of weeks.
Holy crap. No joke.
Now we're
in. That did not even occur to me. Holy crap. Wow. Oh, my. I'm blown away. Can you tell?
So now I got to ask you the most important question of all. So does that mean Jesus is coming back?
Whoa, do you want me to really trip you out right now? I'll trip you out. I will trip you out. Okay, so why do we say 2012? Now, I'm not going to confirm what you just said. I'm going to say something else. I'm going to talk about this zodiac here for a minute. Now, astronomers in ancient time, they were accurate, but they didn't have the accuracy that we have now. Why did we say 0 or 1 AD? People are saying, oh, yeah, it's the birth of Christ, the reason why we say 0 or 1 AD. That's complete nonsense, because are you going to tell me that this whole planet at the same time acknowledged the birth of Christ when he was 1 year old? When he was one, the whole India? See, most of the astronomers had the zodiac, the tropical zodiac, the alignment of the calendar mixed with the zodiac. They had it mapped out at 1. That's why they say 1 AD. So 2,000 years after that, we start shifting into a new age. And so the date for the awareness of the second coming, according to ancient astrologers, is actually 2070. But from 2010 to 2070 is supposed to be preparation for that age. And so, yeah, there were several writings in the past that we are in that phase right now. And really what it is, it's about awakening of consciousness. That human being, the avatar, which in India believes the Christ, the Buddha, the Krishna, and the Rama were the same person incarnating at different times, which I believe that as well. We are in that cycle right now where that being's energy or life force is already out there. And also, you know, ancients saw this as a pagan thing. You know, it's been constructed now to be a Christian thing, but that's completely astronomically incorrect. You know, pagans had this. Christ originally belonged to them as well. They predicted him far before he came. So this is not a matter of Christianity being confirmed. That's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, the second coming, as I call it, is an awakening of that consciousness of the next age. And that being, which I do believe is a physical entity, never makes himself publicly known. So it will all be done behind the scenes. Because no real avatar, no God-realized being can do the work spiritually they need to when they're publicized throughout the earth that they're here. No one can do that. So this will happen behind the scenes. Could be going on right as we know it now. And it's not going to be confirming some Christian deity. It's going to be confirming the next age we're going into, which is going to be our age. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. So I believe the zodiac is aligned with him, 100%, that entity, that being, that great incarnation. I believe the zodiac is 100% aligned with him. I do believe he was born when the zodiac aligned with the calendar. I believe he was born in that era, in that age. And eras go for about 200 to 400 years. They're not right in the moment. But I believe he was born in that era during that alignment, and that is exactly why the three wise men from the East went right to a very specific location waiting for his birth, knowing he was coming, because that alignment was that powerful to astrologers, the alignment of the zodiac with the calendar.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm saying that not in a Christian way. I'm saying in a very pagan way. The age we're going into is the age of truth, and God is infinite. God is infinite. Which means you can't pigeonhole a force like that. Paganism is more awake in consciousness than other forms of religion because of its freedom to choose the way you want to experience that one being. You can choose you can see that force in any which way you want to. And that's freedom. And that has to be true. You know, the idea of one way of thinking being the way that God thinks, well, I think higher than that. And I know for a fact God thinks higher than me, which completely debunks what Christianity stands for. Because if God is infinite, which it states this in the Bible on several different occasions that he's infinite, you can't pigeonhole an infinite energy. You can't do it. So unless we have different definitions of what the word infinite is, just the word infinite being involved in the Bible at all kind of blows apart the idea that God can only be perceived or experienced in one way. So I know for a fact that this entity that's coming, or who has been here, or is in this era that we're in right now, is going to confirm an age where freedom exists. You can choose the way you want to experience God if he is an infinite being. So the age we're going into is very much an enlightened age. I believe the zodiac, this one, is going to come back right during all this information and this energy shifting on this planet. And I believe that paganism is going to start growing and expanding. But it has to be, and this is not a condescending statement, but it has to be a little bit smarter than it is right now. It has to be a little bit smarter.
I'm behind you on that one. Yes, I'm with you there.
But I think that's going to happen. I do think that's going to happen because I think that people are going to gravitate towards freedom because God is freedom. And when you experience that need for freedom, you're going to run towards a religion where you're allowed to express it in a way that is free. And so I do think that all ancient ages where truth exists are ages that are predominantly pagan in nature. Yeah, we're in dark times, and even the zodiac being out of alignment, I think religion is completely out of alignment on this planet right now. I mean, it's just everything is such a mess. We're getting ready to clean this up in the next age, where an incredible amount of light is going to descend through after we clear out this darkness, which we're doing right now. I mean, I can't believe the stuff people are dealing with. I've been an astrologer for 18 years. I've never seen people go through this, what they're going through right now. I mean, and it's not so much even universal, which it's a part of it. It's like the individual punches I see people taking are just absolutely enormous.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and it's coming in waves. I've noticed there will be like a slight period, you know, just from personal experience and what I've seen other people going through around me, there will be like, you know, a week or two of just pure elation and pure joy, and you know what track you're in, and then you kind of get sideswiped for a week or two.
Yeah.
You know, it's been like a roller coaster up and down, and the emotions that come with it. I mean, just waking up sad for no reason.
Hello.
There you got it. That's exactly what is going on right now, is the deepest part of our subconscious, the deepest darkness inside of each person is becoming a normal part of their daily thought and function, which means it's purifying. It means, you know, the universe is doing its job. It's pulling the shit right to the surface because it's cleaning it out next. It's going to wipe it out next. That type of darkness can't exist inside of a human being in the age we're going into. The age we're going into is three quarters light. We're right now in the opposite. We're in a quarter light right now. And so we are going to shift very fast from a quarter light to three quarters light. And that means all darkness inside of each human being has to come to the surface and be wiped away. That's what it has to be.
Purged.
It has to be purged out. And so the more advanced a person is right now, the more work they're actually doing at this moment. There's no doubt about it. And they're purging deep, deep, deep stuff. And that's the great thing about knowing this, is don't take it so serious. Be joyous. Have a good time. Just try to enjoy things as they are, because I know people are going to be struggling internally. I just know it. And so it's the best just to know that we're clearing and still try to enjoy our lives at the same time.
Damn, can I get an amen on all that? Can I get an amen on all that? Because I will tell you, and my sister will back me up, I have been going through up and down. I mean, emotional. One minute everything's fine, the next minute I'm a complete wreck. Am I true or not? Tell him.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I have spent the last year breaking myself down and rebuilding.
Yes, and that is a part of this phase we're moving into right now, right at this moment. This is what the Mayan calendar, which, believe it or not, I'm not a giant fan of their calculations to begin with. I mean, I've studied their calendar, and I think that they missed some very key things that this ancient system I'm using, which is, I will put the Egyptian system up against any system on this earth because it's better. And that's just the way that it is. And that's why when I had one person try to debate with me about this zodiac, I'm like, hey, listen, if you want to go against the Egyptians, you can. I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it. Their metaphysics was so advanced. And I'm going to be proving, just for my own personal debating with others, that this system is Egyptian in origin. And when people realize that the system I'm using is the actual Egyptian system, this is over. Because I'm like, hey, if you want to argue with them, you can. I'm not going to do it. But we are, according to them, are in that age between now, between 2010 and 2070, we are entering that next age. And it was specifically noted that this was a time where people were going to be purging so their spiritual life could be completely rebuilt by the nature of the universe. Where it, so people that are on the path are going through great reconstruction right now, just having stuff pulled up, having to deal with energies that are very uncomfortable. And this is the path I chose in India was called Agora, which was about embracing your shadow more than your light, because the basic belief is, you know, if you overcome your fears, you can experience light for eternity. So my path is very dark, and the music I do is very dark, because it's about looking at the stuff you don't want to deal with. Because the fundamental truth is, which I subscribe to, is if you can find joy in that which makes you uncomfortable, then you will find yourself easier to enlighten as a human being. You know, my path has been about getting comfortable with energies that are very uncomfortable for people. You know, that's why sitting with death, you know, death is a very uncomfortable subject. So the Agora in India will say, okay, that's uncomfortable, so let's get comfortable with that feeling. Because the more comfortable you can be with being uncomfortable, the happier you're going to be as a human being. And happiness is the goal of Agora. And so why I'm telling you this for a reason, the age we're in right now is really uncomfortable. I mean, it's very uncomfortable. Now, my practice in India is about being comfortable with these forces, so I'm okay. I feel totally okay with these things that are going on. As a matter of fact, I even find the spiritual power in it. You know, being a worshiper of Hecate/Kali, you talk about a force that deals with that which is uncomfortable, that's her. You know, she deals with the loss, the separation, all the various things that we don't like to deal with on this earth. So getting in touch with her at this age is probably the most significant thing a human being could do, because life's going to start getting really uncomfortable. And if you can align with Hecate, I don't think it's going to be that uncomfortable. Because you,
well,
she deals with those things.
Talk to her then.
I don't believe in conversion. I believe people should have the freedom to experience God in any which way, shape, or form they want to. But I'm definitely telling people at this age and this time, it's best to align with Hecate. It's best to align with her, because her work is so, she's the sweetest force on the earth. There's no doubt about it. I've never in my life experienced a force as sweet as Hecate, but her work is different. Her heart is the sweetest heart that there is, but her work on this earth is serious, serious stuff. Loss, separation. In India, they give her to widowhood and losing children, and they give her work is very challenging. And because it's so challenging, she always stays in this incredibly sweet, soft place, knowing that life is a very intense experience. But if you can align with her and her work, it's going to make your life a hell of a lot easier in your future, because you'll be programmed to deal with uncomfortable feelings that other people are going to fall apart having.
Wow.
Yeah. God, I wish we had more time. We've only got like 3 minutes less than 3 minutes left.
I've noticed that too.
we didn't even get to your music tonight.
In a strange way, we just did. You can go to my site, Luna 13, and listen to the strangest, darkest stuff you've ever heard in your life. And for me, it all comes from a good place, which is get comfortable with that which is uncomfortable. That's really what my music is about. So I purposely use sounds and energies that are not easy to sit with on purpose, because I do believe wholeheartedly in this agoric path. Get comfortable with that which is uncomfortable, and you'll have infinite peace. Because if it's fear that takes us out of our peace. It's fear. If you have fear, you can't have peace. So overcome your fear. Peace is everlasting. That's just the way that it works. So my guru Nini would say, hey, forget about light. You're going to get it in the end for all eternity. Let's worry about the stuff that's preventing you from experiencing it, which is your shadow. So let's delve into that. That's all Luna 13 is about, delving into the shadow. There's some dark stuff over there. And I enjoy what I do, and I have so much fun creating the music that I do. And I might even end up creating some of the darkest music that people have ever heard in their life. And it still comes from a motive of let's go there. Let's go and explore it. The only rule I think a human being should follow is harm no one. Don't harm anybody. Love people.
Yeah, right.
But you should have the freedom to explore darkness in every way, shape, or form if you follow that one rule. Don't harm anybody. And if you can really align with harm no one, you can do whatever the hell you want. You can do whatever you want if you just don't do that, if you just follow that one rule. Harm no one. It's the only rule that I follow in my life, and it's the only rule that I need to follow. I want to explore the shadow. I'm going to go into some pretty heavy, dark places that are very uncomfortable for people, but I'm going to be one of the nicest people you ever meet. I want happiness for everybody, but I don't believe happiness can be obtained if you're not looking at your shadow. I just don't believe it's possible.
We love you. Can I just say that we love you?
Will you please come back on? Will you please come back on?
Yes. This is my work. I love this stuff. Sooner the better. All you have to do is when we're done, because I also have to go here pretty soon, is all you have to do is send me a next date. Send me the next date, and we'll do Jade Luna number two.
Awesome. You have been wonderful. We are so thankful that you came on. Please check out the websites that I've posted on the Desperate House Witches pages to read more about what we've just been discussing. This has been one of the most favorite shows I've had, I have to say. You are
very
wonderful.
Well, I appreciate it very much, and I feel I'm because of what I deal with personally, I'm honored that you guys invited me, and I'm really looking forward to our next time.
I am too.
Thank you so much.
Jade Luna, thank you so much for coming on.
No problem, and we'll do it again here soon.
Great. Absolutely. Thank you again, and I'll be in touch with you soon.
I'll be looking forward to it.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, guys.
I am fascinated, and we've got to wrap up. So just go ahead and issue the blessing before we head out.
All right. Bright blessings to everyone. I apologize to the callers who called in. I'm sorry. We were being greedy. We love talking to him. And next time we will have to make the show a little bit longer.
And we will.
Definitely check out the links that we've put up. I've been delayed with the blog. The blog will be up with all of his information for this week. Please check it out tomorrow.
And I've done a lot of posting on our page with his website links, so please go there.
Absolutely. But bright blessings. We love you guys. Thanks for coming in. And we will not be here next week or the week after, but we will be back on the 30th with Nona.
Love you guys.
Love you guys. Good night.
Bye.